week was a cruncher. And I'm interrupting the teaching on tithing because I intend to teach about it all week anyway. Last week was a cruncher, and it was closer than I ever wanted to be again. Now, the only way that we can continue to move forward is to not loosen our grip until we've totally turned the corner. It dawns on me a lot of our old-timers drifted away during the commitment to try to rescue the church downtown. And in spite of what I said, I want no giving except as a response to my teaching for the reasons that I teach. A lot of the newer supporters were primarily motivated to save the church. So we're really needing to start over. Sort out the old timers, decide who can live up to the uncommon man designation, decide, or let them decide, if they're called in these last days to be a beacon light of support for this teaching ministry, and the new ones, find out what you old timers already knew, that we're not playing games. Now, we're not out of the pressure zone yet, by any means. I haven't even looked at the totals for the month. I'm sure they're here for me to look at. I really don't want to look yet. Now, we'll be going early every single day this week. And if you will rally with me and stay with me and demonstrate that we can do simply for God's word what we did last year about this time, allegedly for God's word, but apparently for other reasons, we're going to come through to the greatest victory we've ever had. I still believe this can be the greatest year of this ministry. Now, give me some music up there. I don't really care what kind it is as long as it's good. And let me see if anyone this afternoon is watching. Our goal is to raise $1 million this week to come in for the rest of April. So if you didn't call yesterday, let's start doing it right now. Get on the phone, tell me what you're sending in April. We need to raise $1 million by next Sunday, committed to come in through the month of April, the balance of this month. And that's about 10 days. But we don't have that much time. I did check the totals thus far this month. It's $656,000. Now, I really think God is determined to test our faith ability to pierce this barrier that Satan has used to laugh at us. Now, wherever you are, get on the telephone. My guess is we need about 20 people today to pledge $1,000. The rest will come in smaller amounts. We're going to need a total of 120 pledging $1,000 before the week is out. So get on the telephone. Wherever you are, we must get our budget back up to where it was when we made the commitments that we're maintaining on this network. And you must give for the reasons that I've taught, no other reason. So I'm not expecting any response from anyone I haven't taught, but you that I've taught, I'm expecting a response from you right now. So on the telephone, more music. Great to be on the attack. Well, that's what we are. Numbers chapter 18. The Lord spake unto Aaron and said, that's where I was on the rerun. The Lord spake unto Aaron and said, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land. Now, God gave them everything they had.
Of course, the world doesn't believe that. But I repeat today, as I did all day yesterday, if you were of the world would love his own. But you're not of the world, because I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now, in the Grecian world where Paul preached, the preaching of the cross was under attack. A stumbling stone to one group, foolishness to another. The worldview reacted against the cross. Now the message of the cross accepted by the world. They love that more than they do the resurrection. But there's a similar attitude toward giving. And there is a massive attack by the prince of the power of the air to intimidate Christians on giving and God's law of supply. And God is trying to get across the premise that we get all we have from him. And he makes these children of Israel tithe as a recognition of that. But then those that were his under shepherds, he made them totally dependent on him. Totally dependent on him. Thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. Now, at first glance, that made the children of Israel real happy. They got one twelfth more land than they deserved, because the Levites got none. But then God took back a tenth immediately. And then he took second and third tithes. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve. Now, Aaron the high priest was a type of Christ, the Levites, and the clergy. The Levites got all the tithe of the first tithe, and some of the second. They then had to pay their tithe to Aaron. God kept the law going to Aaron, the type of Christ. And he didn't pay any tithe because he was the type of Christ. But right now, not only are Christians being put on the defensive for their giving and intimidated about it, but the Levite antitype, which those who preach the gospel are in the New Testament, are put on the defensive about enjoying the benefits of what they get. And God doesn't condemn you for enjoying the blessing that he has promised after you've given him your part, his part. I've been saying this for days. The only way you can be wealthy and not feel intimidated is if you've done it God's way. Then you don't have to feel guilty. You don't have to carry the burden for all the poor. You don't have to apologize for God's blessing on you. If you've done it God's way, you don't have to explain why you buy boats or houses or airplanes or land. Eat in fancy restaurants. If you paid your tithe, and your offerings to God, and he blessed you, you're a testimonial to God's word. flaunt it. Don't be intimidated at all. Flaunt it. You go out and win $20 million in the lottery, pay your tithe, then flaunt it. And everybody should thank God for the first $2 ticket. That gets first fruits out of the way. Be awful to win with the first ticket. But now what about these preachers? They pay their tithe, and God handles that in the 30th verse. He's talking to the Levites, telling them to pay their tithes to Aaron the priest. And when ye have heaved the best thereof from it, then it shall be counted unto the Levites as the increase of the threshing floor, verse 30, and as the increase of the winepress. And ye shall eat it in every place. You can go to Chasen's, or you can go to McDonald's. Nobody's business. These Levites, once they paid their tithe to Aaron, they didn't have to be on the defensive with the children of Israel about how they spent the remainder. Now, if the Levites in one particular tribe that got on a baby boom in both family and beast, they were going to get lots of heave offerings, a lot of first fruits. They were going to do pretty good. All they had to do was pay their tithe to Aaron. What are they supposed to do with the rest? Ye shall eat it in every place, ye and your households, for it's your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation. And ye shall bear no sin by reason of it. When ye have heaved from it the best of it to Aaron, neither shall you pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest you die. Same pressures on the Levite to not pollute or keep in his own hands or fail to honor God in the payment of the tithe of what he received. But the rest of it, ye shall bear no sin by the reason of it. If some particular Levite liked to sail in the Mediterranean or sail in the Sea of Galilee, nobody's business. God's business if he used the tithe money of that portion that he had to pay. But the congregation gave it to the Lord by bringing it to the Levite. The Levite held it in his hand. And then the Lord says, it's yours. However, I claim a tenth of it. You make sure you do as the children of Israel did, because you're holding their tithes to me. Now, I give this to you, but you pay a tithe on it to Aaron. Once the Levite paid the tithe to Aaron, if he had a thing for sailing, he could sail. As long as he did his work. How he spent his money was his business. Another one wanted to have 75 kids, assuming the old lady held on. Well, he'd probably have less left over for sailing. Another one, I maybe had a thing for fast buggies. Nobody's business. Now let's get it in our head that if you were of the world would love its own. Their view of things has no concept of God at all. God's control, certainly. Eternal things, God's right to determine the use of that which belongs to him. There is no sense in giving in the Christian work at all unless you do it God's way for God's reasons. The world's not the judge. Who are of the reporters from the Galilean Times to ask a Levite what he was doing with his money after he paid the tithe on it to Aaron. Aaron didn't even have a right to ask. He should eat it in every place you and your households want it. You can go where you want. Now, if a teacher of the Word teaches God's Word properly, and God's people start living according to God's Word, and God blesses God's people the way He promises to bless them, and they then tithe of that increase the way God tells them to, then the one who taught them, that's the recipient of that tithe, is going to get pretty well off. Well, does the congregation have a right to check on whether the Levite is paying tithe on what he got? Nope. God has the capacity to punish him and reward him. And God has promised a response to the tither, which means that God will reward the Levite. God might give him a gift of art. He might become the most famous sculptor in Palestine. Until they seek after his sculpting from the Euphrates River to the Nile River. But what do you do with that? He tithes it. You can choose to give it away if you want. The point is, it's nobody's business what the Levite does with his money after he pays his tithe, as it's nobody's business what you do with your money after you pay your tithe. And it's sure nobody's business what the Lord does with his money. And he's chosen to recycle it under his formula of blessing. I painted another painting. Now, some of them are on a standing order list and maybe don't even know what they got in the third of the series of the flowers in my yard. The spring is exploding. So this was the third one that I brought out last week. Get it on camera real quickly because we're running out of time. The birds of paradise were exploding outside the door of one of the apartments where one of my staff people stay, or several of them. So I decided to do the birds of paradise. Zoom in on it a bit, Mike. In the distance is that big old dish that continues to drift off the channel, and we've never been able to get the buzz out of it. Doc's dish is a lot better, the Toki dish. The roses are starting to blossom. There's a couple of people sitting under the umbrellas, swing around to the right. In the other painting that I did of the flower pot, that's the flower pot of the first painting. To the right, you see that purple cascade. Those were just bare branches when I did the flower pot, but they've exploded into a purple crescendo. Now, that was the third one. First one was of the pot, second one was of the house, the front entrance. That looks across the pool to the trees that are a barrier to the street. Well, if you walk from the pool through those two little lampposts in the lower left and across the driveway, you'll go into the entrance of the house, which I painted earlier. I decided to sit down at the entrance to the house and look to the right. A full 45, 50 degrees angle to the right from the pool, looking out toward the driveway, as though I'm looking to the right of that car that's parked there, and sitting beyond the birds of paradise at the front entrance of the house between the statues where I painted before. We have a giant oak tree and it looks like about an eighth of an acre jungle of flowers that explode at various times throughout the spring and summer. That's what I painted here. Come over, Mike, real fast. Take that one down first. You can't paint my yard without the giant oak tree. So I looked over a little flowering yellow rose from a rose tree. You'll remember one of the statues to the right, directly toward the oak tree, and decided I'd paint the giant oak in the middle of the yard that the driveway winds around. You're low on the right side, low on the right, high on the right, low on the right. That's about right. Now you will remember the little statue and the giant urn of flowers on the right lower that was on, as we looked the other direction toward the entrance of the house, it was the left statue. The statue on the left side going out of the entrance is out of the picture. Looking over a couple of exploding yellow roses and some pink flowers behind them, up the driveway where the car was parked to the giant oak tree. Now if you look in the upper left corner, yeah, stay on the roses for a minute. That's all right. You'll see some little pink flowers exploding behind the roses. Now if you go up through the oak tree to the top, you'll see a bare tree with its limbs silhouetted against the sky. In about 2 to 3 weeks, that will turn into a heavy foliage mass of purple. So I hope to go to another section of the yard and paint the purple tree. The oak tree and the purple tree are the two big outstanding trees. Now just scan that back off. That's a watercolor. As you know, when Van Gogh sold his sunflowers, for almost $40 million, I said, I got prettier flowers than sunflowers. Now zoom in on the right, move the statue and up the urn through the flowers to the little green tree above it, Mike. You're in the wrong place, get lower. Get below. I want to see the statue and move right on up from that little angel statue. Right more. You get the urn in it. Now go on up through the flowers. You don't have to stay with the border. We know it's in a frame. Go over the other way, Mike. You're standing too close to the edge. I'm trying to get away from the oak and center that tree, Mike. There, that's what I want. And going back down, there's that giant urn with the flowers spilling out of it. Going down. That little weathered statue of the angel. Now, underneath the oak tree, about an eighth of an acre, I'd guess, just exploding flowers, azaleas, every kind. Swing back to those flowers and out to the, go on, just swing more left. That oak tree's reaching a stage we've got to trim it or the cars can't get underneath it. Swing around left. But it just totally dominates the whole yard. Move in on the rose a bit and see if we can see those real soft pink flowers right behind them. Just starting to blossom. You see a lamppost in the distance as the driveway winds around back to the left. Now I made a mistake. But it's done now. I said I'd sell them for $300 a piece. Not the original, but numbered prints. And we're printing, numbering, and signing 100 prints, $300 each.
There's a suite of seven. Some people have ordered the whole set. This is the fourth of the series. I love to do this once a week now because I'm tired of answering questions from the news media. Where do you get the money to buy horses? Watch. If these sell out, that'll be 30,000. I guess they'll sell out rather quickly. I'm basing that on the reaction of those that have seen this particular watercolor. When it sells out, then that ought to buy some hay. I created a stock corporation, profit-making, Dr. Gene Scott Incorporated, to sell the art and buy horses with the money. So this one is the fourth of the series. There's only 100 available, $300 each. Don't stop. Your giving to the church is a giving based on the teaching that I have given you. The church doesn't sell anything. This is a gift that God has given me. I sell the art through a tax-paying corporation and buy horses with what's left. Is that clear enough? Maybe one of these days the news media will tune in sufficient and see this happen. They'll figure out where I get the money to buy horses. 100 available, $300 each. As always, you can have a year or two to pay on them. Even three, as long as you're contacting me every single month to let me know you're serious. You don't get the print until it's paid in full. The phones are open. Give me some good classical music to go with the oak tree. You that are responding to the teaching on giving, I've just made a point. The Levite can do what he wants, as you can do what you want after you give God his part. This gift, painting, is from God, and I sell the art through the corporation. Your contributions to the church are not the same. When you buy these prints, you write the check to Dr. Gene Scott Incorporated. Which of these I like the best. A lot of people, though, that have seen this one like it the best. So they'll keep taking pictures of it. There are 100 prints only, signed and numbered. When you call here, the time and date of your message determines your sequence and the number. More music. Well, there are six prints left. I think, Joe, you better go back to this series starting a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and just make little spot reels of each one of these prints as I introduced them and sold them. And the next time the news media asks, where do you get the money for the horses, give them a set of tapes. There's six left. Those poor people that watch at night when we have a big audience better get on the permanent list. Out of North Carolina, you're getting better. Well, practice makes perfect. I like that song. Now, come on, folks. Go ahead and buy your print. That's play money. And once you pay your tithe, God doesn't care how many prints you buy. It's your business. But the fundamental focus of this week is tithing God's way and a frontal attack on the attempt of the world to impose its view. No supernatural, no God, no God control, no treasures in heaven, no eternal life, no divine retribution, no divine rewards, and no promised help by God down here. They don't believe what Deuteronomy says. It's God that giveth you the power to get wealth. So when you get in there and get it, don't forget that. Now,
we're going to stay on this subject as the one voice that refuses to get on the defensive about this. Now, play that same song again. And all you people watching on dishes across America, we're going to need your help strongly in 4 minutes as we leave Channel 30 and leave Channel 38. We're going to be right here. We'll see Channel 38, Channel 30 tonight when the other stations join us again. Six of those prints are left.
When it's dark and cold, I'll reach out for someone to hold. When I'm blue, when I'm lonely, she comes through.
Angeles.
Pick up some clothes for me. Go see Craig. I painted another painting this afternoon. Well, not this afternoon. I showed it this afternoon. News media, turn your cameras on. They always ask, where do you get the money to buy horses? I paint. And I sell prints. I haven't sold any originals yet. When Van Gogh sold for almost $40 million, his painting of the sunflowers, I said, heck. I got prettier flowers in my yard than that. So I started a suite of seven paintings. There are 10 to 14 watercolors of the flowers in my yard. But dominating the yard's a giant oak tree. So I sat in a little portico front entrance area that I painted once before, looking at the front entrance, and painted the oak tree with some surrounding flowers and other things. Now I print only 100 prints of this, signed and numbered, and they're $300 each, and they sell fast. Here it is. That's it. That's the giant oak tree in my yard. It dominates it. There's about an eighth of an acre, I think, or thereabouts. Underneath it's a jungle of flowers that blossom at various times of the spring and summer. And I was looking over a rose tree, a yellow rose tree. To the right's a big urn with flowers spilling out of it. And if you look close, you'll see the little angel sitting there, the little statue. That's the oak tree. The big oak tree in my yard that the driveway winds around. $300 each. Music! I really like that painting, Arlington, Washington says. Each one gets better and better. More music! Turn on your VTR news media, you'll see how I get the money to buy horses. It checks out for the prince to Dr. Gene Scott Incorporated. I created a tax-paying corporation to sell the art and buy horses. All gone. I'm quite a ways over. I think I'm going to just be unilaterally generous. One other of the seven, I sold 140. That was the house. It's good to be on a standing order list. They're enjoying most of our audience, and they ought to get a chance, don't you think? So I'm going to choose the adequate one. I'm going to make 140 of these. Anybody that bought them because they was only 100, you can call back and say, I don't want mine. So I can make room for somebody else. Yes. But this one, people seem to like so well, it goes too fast. It's all gone. Been gone. So I'm going to do 140 of these like I did the one of the house. That's it. That's it. So some of the people later on when I show it can have a chance. Okay? Please be on a standing order list. If you're not watching at the right time, they go fast. About the average is 10, 15 minutes. 30,000 smackers plus. Buy a lot of hay for my horses. 140 is more than that, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, I'll do 140 of these. That's it. Not 141, just 140. One more song. Hello. Then I'm going to stop selling the paintings so I can save some for Texas. Now, we are here this week. To take a little hair off the dog that bit us. I don't want to get in the position we were in last week. So we are determined to move right on forward. And I'm determined to attack on every front where there's weakness. Now Tuesday traditionally is the lowest day of the week. So I want the people that I've taught that are as concerned as I am to see this ministry back on the track that brought us where we are. I want you to help me defeat the downside of Tuesday. Tuesday's always the lowest mail day of the week. There are lots of people in Los Angeles can go out and put it in the mail tonight. Others can bring it to the King's House tomorrow. And we're determined to raise $1 million for our budget this week to come in for the rest of April. The pledge is this week. You got a lot of time. Last week you had to send it the next day. This week you got until the end of April. I'm asking every person, even if you've called previous, now if you called yesterday, don't
call, but don't give us the pledge again, because we have it yesterday. We started yesterday, and we're going to raise the balance of the budget for April, and we're going to get $1 million of it this week. You got that, what we're doing? Now, if the world had its way, all Christians would get intimidated about their giving. That's why I've returned to teaching on giving, and we're going to do a lot of it tonight. But for the next 8 minutes, well, those few that remain that are wanting to buy this painting, now the paintings are sold by Dr. Gene Scott Incorporated, the prints. I don't sell the originals. The numbered signed prints. I created a tax-paying separate corporation, Dr. Gene Scott Incorporated, to sell the art. And then Dr. Gene Scott Incorporated used the money to buy horses. And this little display is to let the world know that keeps asking where you get the money to buy the horses. We'll take a look. 140 prints is 42,000 smackers, isn't it? That'll buy a bale or two of hay. But for those that are responding to the teaching and giving for the reasons that God's Word defines, I'm not going to allow us to get on the defensive or be intimidated about that. So all this week, we're going to tackle our budget for April. And I'm going to keep teaching on giving. Now, you that have already been taught, get on the telephone now. Give me another song, a little longer one. Less than 7 minutes and longer than three. All right. Here we are live now. Okay, musicians, you can go back to the phones. Get me Nick in here on camera one. And you take camera two. So our bass player is free to help Mike. And you take the mobile. Well, since I'm 15 minutes late, let's use this 15 minutes before we teach. What was that? A talking camera. Let's use this 15 minutes to educate the press. All right? If we do this often enough, you think they'll get it? We got some more horse shows coming up, you know. And they'll be crawling around saying, where does the money come from to buy the horses? Art. I am now the best-selling living artist in the world. Use up all the time clapping. I paint. And I make prints. I haven't sold an original yet. Been offered some pretty good prices. But not enough for me. I paint. And I make prints of what I paint. Numbered and signed, limited edition, and then sell them. Grant attractive terms. Created a corporation, a stock corporation, profit making. That means the directors thereof have a fiduciary duty to make money. You understand that's the fundamental responsibility of the directors of a profit-making corporation. It's supposed to make profit. That's what capitalism is about. And you pay taxes on the profits. That's why the government loves that system. Got that?
Yes, sir.
But they also provide you ways to the shelter income because they know they'll get you eventually. Because you've got to shelter it with things that also make money. So you get a sort of Doppler effect going. And then you have fun en route. That's the theory of capitalism. Now, I always loved horses, but you notice I never bought any until I started painting. Now I paint, create a corporation to sell the art, and buy horses. Then show them on the university network. Now I've been for the last 2 or 3 weeks trying to make a statement. When Van Gogh's sunflowers sold for almost $40 million, I said, heck. I got prettier flowers in the yard than that. Now they quit worrying about the horses and start asking about the house. Everybody in my church knows what I do. When I got ready to buy a house, I had people pledge to make it possible and write Doc's pad on the pledge slips. I could have bought it myself. Tax-free, because at the time we bought it, Pastor's Manse was tax-free. We pledged $20 million, $190,000.